right. God is great. Bonnie, you take care of the angels on this side. Good to see you, Kurt. All right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, you remember we've been teaching that there are two kinds of righteousness with God. One is active, one is passive. One is based on the gospel, one is based on the law. One is a command, the other is a promise. All these distinctions, and many more, make a difference. For example, under a command, you work, you do something, you perform. Under a promise, you believe, you do nothing, you enter into his rest. So all of these differences are defined by God. They're not defined by us. You don't know how to define terms until God reveals the understanding. The mind, the human mind, can make some distinctions, but not the most important. So these are the most important, that God has not revealed this to the world. The world does not know, and therefore in ignorance, it continues to try to behave. When all the while, it's impossible. Man, there's never been a man who has been perfect before God. Nobody knew even you had to be. The natural mind just thinks, well, do the best you can. So the young men that, you know, were down in the swimming thing, they did the best they could, being intoxicated and being excited and so on and so forth. But that's not the law. And he got his comeuppance because he saw that he got the other three in his immaturity and exuberance. He had damaged a lot of property and said a lot of foolish things. But that's as much as someone can do. Now, he knew better, but being intoxicated, he reverted back to his natural reason, which was dulled. And therefore, lawbreaking takes place when you're not thinking, when you're actually irrational, foolish. And that's how people make most of their decisions in life that could make a huge difference. That young man now understands that, but and that's good. But he may be eliminated now from doing what he loves, and it may affect him for the rest of his life. But I trust that he learned a lesson. He said he did. I trust that. But God has revealed everything in the scriptures about how we should behave and not behave. And the part he hasn't revealed may be that he has revealed it, but he just hid it so that it isn't clear. And it's my job, it's my task, it's my burden to make clear what the Word of God is saying for us right now.
Amen.
Not yesterday and not tomorrow, but right now, so that we see the difference between Moses and Abraham. Moses gave a law. Abraham heard a gospel. So Abraham tried to obey and he failed. Moses failed to keep the law himself. He understood that you were supposed to keep not most of the law, not 99% of the law, but all the law. If you just break it in one part, you've broken the law. If you just do one murder, you're a murderer. Well, that guy did 10. I only did one. But it doesn't work that way. If you lie, you're a liar. And it doesn't matter that you didn't mean to. Oh, I didn't intend to smash things in the bathroom of the gas station. It doesn't matter. You did it. So the whole law could have been thrown at those young men, especially for their foolish acts and their lying on the reports or exaggerating. Because you could say that the people of Brazil could easily say, well, they're young, immature kids, but actually they're able to participate in the games, and they should have known better, and they were disciplined up until that moment. And in the moment of their exuberance, they got foolish, went to a party, celebrated, and lost their mind. Well, all of us do that. There's not a person here that hasn't done that at some point. You make a stupid decision, and it has an impact on you for the rest of your life. And I'm sure it's an unforgettable act for the one gentleman that seemed to be the most destructive of the four. But God is not like men. He's not like us. And he never intended for anybody here to keep his law. He doesn't want Bonnie to keep the law. Janae to keep the law. Karen to keep the law. But he wanted Kurt and Dan and me. Alex, I don't know. I don't know. Did you keep the law?
Yeah.
No. Wanted us to keep the law because we were appointed to be like him, and we weren't. And so we have to then realize, well, what do you do now? Well, fortunately, 430 years before Moses giving of the law, he gave a promise. He made a promise. And a promise is totally, totally 100% opposite, diametrically opposed to the law. The law is where you do something. The promise is where the promise or the promisor made a promise to the promisee. And you're the promisee. You have to know who's the promisee. And it was only given to people that messed up. The promise was not given to law-abiding people. Was given to people that have broken the law, just in one part. Moses hit the rock twice. That's called double jeopardy in law. By hitting it twice, he failed to understand that God wanted him to just hit it. And since he didn't know how many times in his anger, he hit it twice. It's like, I'm going to hit it, and then I'm going to hit it again. And so God had told him to strike the rock, but you can only kill Jesus once for our crimes. So it's good, though, to have mitigating equity. Equity allows us to do not what the law says, but what is right. And what is right is not defined by us. What is right is to do what is expedient to someone who was created in the image and likeness of God. So when you discipline one of your students at school, you have to remember why they're there. It's not to prove how stupid they are by giving them a test they can't possibly follow. It's for you to be the good teacher that teaches them so well that they all do well. Maybe not all in the same way, but nevertheless, the teacher bears the burden to take those that are not prepared, not ready. Maybe they came to you already, having not been taught well in the kindergarten or first grade or second grade. But once they come to you, equity should prevail. Do what's right, not just what's the curriculum lawfully says to do. Because this is an individual you're dealing with, and an individual is a person. And God loves those that he creates. Never hated anyone that he created. Just like we are merciful to our children. We're merciful to our children. And we're merciful because people do make mistakes. So laws tell us what to do, but they don't forgive us if we don't. nor do they help us. Nevertheless, a good law maker or a good law interpreter, construer, adjudicator, or a good law executor should take into account mitigating circumstances or situations that say, well, this is your first time, or you're a young, stupid, you know, person who was celebrating and went wacko. Now, the gospel is totally the opposite, and it cannot be annulled by the law, because the gospel was first, and God, who knows everything, can't be fooled and say, oh, I've changed my mind. He didn't change his mind about the law. The law is just be like God. That's all the law is. Be like God. It's just be perfect. The only problem is that you're telling it to the wrong people, and people will interpret it in the wrong way, as though it was them. It was to them. It is to you, but it's to the new you, the one that by promise. It's not to the old you in the flesh, because nobody in the flesh can ever please God. Nobody in the flesh can ever do what God wants. So the law was given to convict us, not to help us to do it. The law was given so that we'd be convicted that we couldn't do it. It wasn't given so you'd do it. The law was not given. I want you to understand this. The law was not given to you to do. It was given to Jesus to do for you. So the law doesn't belong to you. Doesn't apply. N/A. It doesn't apply to you. It's non-applicable. You are not able to be perfect or holy as God is holy. That's a good time for you to say amen.
Amen.
It wasn't given for you to be a perfect wife, perfect mother, perfect, you know, husband, perfect anything. Child, you know, adult, whatever. And so you must forgive yourself. Because it was never for you in the first place. The law was given 430 years after Abraham. Abraham was not given any law other than the law that was written on his heart, which he knew he goofed up. I don't know if you know it, but Abraham first met God when he was worshiping the moon god in Ur. That's not exactly what God had in mind. So even though it was lawful to go in there, it was not expedient, because it had nothing to do with why God created him. So what's expedient is what's actually proper to your destiny, to your purpose, the reason for which you were created. And so you are actually the setui katrust in French, which means you are the reason for which everything exists. You are the reason. So that's a powerful idea, that God gave us a law that we couldn't keep, knowing, because he knows everything, knowing that he would have to either kill us or forgive us. And since he had given the law 430 years after the gospel, the promise, the law didn't annul the promise. The promise was still there. In other words, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, if you kill somebody, they can't get it. Or if you keep them under a law that they can't keep, and by the way, man can't keep any of God's laws. Why? Because his laws are ridiculously high. Like, be like me in all that you say and do. It's like, how about do the best I can? No, no. I want you to be holy all the time. Oh, I hardly ever break it. I mostly keep it. I've done a lot better than others. That doesn't count. With God, you have to be perfect, you know, 24/7 from the time you're in the womb, 9 months before you're even born. And you remember little John the Baptist when he was in the womb, and Mary came along and spoke to Elizabeth, The little baby jumped up for joy. Now, I don't know how they know it's for joy, because it's just like a kick, but they knew, and it said so, and God had that written down, that little boy was, yahoo, there's the Messiah, there's Jesus. So that little kid is not stupid. He knew, yeah, that's it. And so it's recorded in the Bible. Now, what I'm trying to say is God is good. He's always been good. He's never been bad. He has never hated anybody for doing wrong things. So the law was never given for someone to do it. It was given for Jesus to do it for you.
Amen.
That makes the law good news. Because Jesus had to be good for me. So that when I stood before God someday and seeking entrance into the kingdom of heaven, he would say, no, there's no problem at all, because you had faith in my son Jesus. And you're written in the Lamb's book of life. You're not written in Moses' law book. God got wrong book. Look in that other book. It says in here, you sin continually, constantly, always. Because sin is redefined in the New Testament as unbelief. In the Old Testament, it's don't commit adultery and steal and lie and have other gods. But in the New Testament, the only sin is not believing that God is good. That's why my preaching is weird. But I believe it's accurate. I know it's accurate. I'm certain that it's accurate. And I don't have to prove it. I just state it. But I can tell you, I was called out of darkness into his marvelous light, so that I could then preach this truth that I first experienced myself. I never preach what I haven't lived. Never. I'm only preaching something that's been personally revealed to me. Not just that my intellect studied it in the Bible. And so therefore, since it's a personal experience, it's so easy to talk about the goodness of God, the wisdom of God, the power and majesty of God. It's easy for me because I am in love. Now, nobody knows that. You can't know that. You can see some evidence, but you couldn't possibly know that that's true. And I can't know that about you. I can't. So therefore, I can't judge. Because if I judged, I'd be wrong. I could judge your actions, but that would not tell me everything. Because only God knows the heart. Only God knows your heart. Only God knows your heart. So that's a powerful thing. And you can start laughing just based not on what your heart really is, but just based on what he wrote down. That's why he wrote it. That's why he didn't talk it. He wrote it down in a book permanently so everybody could just read it. You could read it as a sinner. A sinner could actually read the Bible. Now, they tend not to, because they're kind of worried about what's in there. It's like, I think you have to behave. But they're wrong. And so it's our job as Christians to tell them by word and deed, to tell them by word and deed, speaking the truth in love. God's not angry at anybody. Never has been. Never will be. Ever. For all eternity. He will never be angry. The problem in the world today is the church hasn't been the church. The church hasn't been the church because it was to be the salt and the light of this world. Now, I don't know how that all works out, and I'm not even interested in it. In other words, I just sow the seed. If it takes root, hallelujah. If it doesn't, hallelujah. there was a man yesterday in Dallas at a church up north. And they were trying to cast out devils or something in him. There was about 20, 30 ministers. And they asked me to come because they couldn't get rid of all the demons that were in the people that were there. And they knew what they were doing because they said they did. And I was a little embarrassed because I didn't want to correct what they were doing. But at any rate, they kind of, after 30, 40 minutes or something, long time, they said, you get up here. How do you... I was the only white person, and all of them were African, and they're strong. I mean, they are noisy and strong, and they were doing everything to throw demons out of people. That's not exactly the way I do it, but it's okay. They were fine. But when they asked me to get up, I asked the man who was in charge, now, are you doing healings or deliverances? Meaning, they're not the same. You can't just say Jesus and, you know, so on and so forth. Anyway, there are all kinds of things. But after they had worked with this one man, I went and I asked him his name. And otherwise, I just stood there looking like an idiot. Because they just went, we asked you to do something. You're not doing anything. And I couldn't, because the Holy Spirit didn't give me freedom to either do differently than they were doing or whatever, or to agree with what they were doing. I didn't want to get involved. But they got so frustrated that they finally had to come to me again and say, well, dude, I was just standing there, and they were running all over the place, you know, trying to kill demons or whatever. And I can just tell you that yelling at demons does not, they don't go just because you yell at them.
Yeah.
And I knew they were using authority, but I'm not correcting them, and I wouldn't correct them. You know, whatever they felt they were to do, that's between them and God. It's not between me and them. But I knew I couldn't do that, and therefore I stood there like a dummy because I didn't want to embarrass them, and I didn't want to accuse them. I didn't want to do anything. But they finally got so tired of this one guy, and his name was Hendricks. I said, well, what's your name? And that's not exactly an African name, but that was his name. So I just gently put my hand on him rather than, you know, so I said, I didn't do it that way. And I told him what the Holy Spirit told me to say, that you gave away your soul at some point in your life. You lost your soul, yourself. You're a divided self. Part of yourself is over here with girlfriend A, over here with this and that, and so on and so forth. And he nodded. So he was not being yelled at any longer, and he was immediately quiet. And I just told him, this is what God has said. Now I said, I want you to repeat after me, Father, forgive me for blah, 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 blah. And he did. And I said, you're healed now. You are free. You're whole. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit does it. But I'm going to pray to the Holy Spirit right now, now that you've confessed. Did, and immediately he was free. He walked away happy, free, totally free. The others were still being run after. You know, it's like I didn't get involved in those. As a matter of fact, I left at that moment because I didn't want to be asked, why didn't you yell and do this and do that? But when you're a Christian, you can follow the Holy Spirit. You can ask him. And I don't say they didn't hear him. I don't know. All I know is they did everything they could, and it didn't work right away, and I don't remember that in the scripture. I remember once the disciples tried to throw out some demons, and it didn't work, and he said, this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. And I felt like after eating a breakfast and a lunch with them, they hadn't fasted. And so I decided not to bring that up, but just simply to note that. I'm not going to do something that may not be accurate. And so I would be happy to do it and yell and scream. I don't have any problem. But I also think that the purpose of it was to set people free.
Amen. Mm.
And so the man was set free.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if anybody noticed, because I left. I left right away. After that, I thought, Lord, I need to get home.
And that's deliverance, right? Is that a deliverance?
Well,
or a healing?
There is no one way of doing things. So I can't say that what they did was good or wrong. All I know is they were running around a long time, and I don't think I would believe that that was effective. So rather than say so, I just decided to stand there like an idiot, looking like, I just called on you, man of God. Do something. It's like, I'm not going to do it unless the Holy Spirit tells me what to do. So I was glad to have Hendricks. is. He looked like he was just pathetic, like he yelling in my ear and pushing me and knocking me down and so on. It's not getting anywhere. I still feel like I'm in trouble. And so he had probably not brought out the fact, the truth, the wisdom that he had given away his soul. And he was troubled. I mean, clearly troubled. Came forward so that he could get set free. But I saw that it wasn't this or that or something, but this is what the Holy Spirit said to me, is he gave away his soul. He did it deliberately. The devil didn't take it. He gave it away deliberately by bonding with certain people, and now he's stuck with those memories. He's stuck with that guilt that maybe he had three marriages, for all I know, or something, but somehow he had given himself away and it had not been God's will for his life. So we patched him back up, made him whole again through the Holy Spirit's work. And he was at peace and left happy, very happy.
Praise God.
All I'm saying is God is good.
Amen.
God is so good. He loves everybody. There aren't any hopeless people. Those young men are not hopeless that embarrass themselves in the United States and Brazil and whatever else. They're not hopeless. And how many know that even when you do something wrong and foolish and you can't unring the bell after it's been rung?
Right.
You know, like, I can't take back the words I did or the deeds I did or the money we spent or, you know, the lies we made. Or you can't unring the bell. So you have to have a God who cares about you more than even you care about yourself, who's not angry at you for doing wrong because he wants your happiness and your freedom and your peace.
Amen.
That's the God we have. We have the only true God. I have no problem not honoring other religions. I don't dishonor them, but they're not good things. And I don't care what they've done. Man in his best state is altogether nothing but vanity. So the fact that religion keeps people from stealing hubcaps and, you know, getting drunk or whatever else, okay, that's good in man's eyes, but not in God's eyes. You missed the main point of why you were created. It wasn't just to be lukewarm or a hypocrite or have false religion or worship idols. And people will turn to pills, they'll turn to pastors, they'll turn to all kinds of aids and helps that don't help. And you don't have to dig into it, you just can see they're still in trouble. Because everything you decide has a consequence. Y'all aware of that? That when you decide to come to the house of God, that's a good decision. It's a good decision. Even if you're not in the right mood, it doesn't make any difference. It's not up to you to behave. It's up to God to deliver on his promise. And he cannot lie.
Amen.
So, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, which was 2,000 years after Abraham got the promise. So, Abraham didn't see the fulfillment. He did see Isaac. And he did begin to understand that Ishmael was not his only son. Did you hear what I just said? I mean, of course he had Ishmael and then he had Isaac. But he said, Isaac, my only begotten son. That was his only son, Isaac. Okay, what did he mean? Well, what he meant was son of promise.
Amen.
The other one was son of law.
Well,
the one was a doer, the one was a believer. That's a big difference. Huge. That's what Galatians is all about. Two kinds of righteousness. The one is totally by law. And here you have to do something. But over here, Jesus did something for you. Everything you were to do, he did it. So since he done what needs to be done, God can say to you someday, well done. Because your faith is in Jesus. It's not in your ability to keep the law or break the law and know it and say you're sorry and so on. It has nothing to do with anything you think and say and do and feel. It has only to do with what God has said, not what you have done or not done. So this is good news. The good news is that that God is still in business. He never went out of style. I know the world today, including our own country, has pretty much written him off as ineffective. But we think differently. And I don't care who else thinks what they think. If I were the only one, I'd still be happy and do what I do. But I actually believe the harvest is ripe. I believe it's so ripe that there is no such thing as Muslim for me, or lesbian for me, or anything else. I just see people that Jesus said the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. So it's on the laborer. It's not on the person. The person isn't, you know, well, I don't believe in that, or I'm against that, or it doesn't make any worse what they say or feel or think. I have the answer because I am the salt that they need to convict them of their sin so they can see this isn't working. And the light, which can see there's a better way to live by faith in a promise that God has made. That brings happiness and peace and joy and kindness and goodness and gentleness and so on. So all those fruits of the Spirit are not known in any culture or in any person's individual life. The kind of love that men are used to is conditional. Ours is unconditional. The kind of joy men are into is drink a beer. But we're into joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. The kind of peace the world has is according to knowledge, but ours is beyond understanding, beyond comprehension. So when God uses a word, it's totally different than when men use words. So everybody understands kindness, but when they see it, they don't know that was from Jesus or that was from heaven. They just think, well, he behaved. So they're assuming that we're keeping the law, and that's fine. But the point is, then they'll take misunderstanding. If Jesus said, the works that I do, you think they're works that I do. That's not true. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. Someone's in me. I am another person. I'm not the Son of God. I am now acting as Son of Man, because when I came to earth, when I was sent here, I was sent to live your life for you. And I have the same now restraints you have. I have the same temptations you have. Did you know Jesus was tempted in everything, just like we are? The only difference is he didn't do them because he knew God's promise. He knew God's love. He knew God's goodness. And therefore, he never said his own words or did his own deeds. And now you're like that. You are now beginning. How many know you're not done yet? But you're a work in progress. The Holy Spirit is in you now to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, you're not perfect, but you don't need to be, because you're not under a law. So we're no longer under the works of the law. This is too hard. Come unto me, all you that labor. This is too hard, too much labor, too much thinking, too much trying to work something up, perform. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy burdened, laden. Because you're wearing yourself out, like those guys last night. They were just like, I couldn't believe it. How loud those Africans can yell. Oh my gosh. And they get right into their ear, that person. It's like, whoa. I wouldn't even have an eardrum left. But they meant business. You know, they wanted to set the captive free. So their motives were right. Their hearts were pure. But I would take a little different way of doing it. And who's to say who's right? No, I don't really care. Because all I'm going to do is obey the Lord. I'm not going to worry about whether I'm accurate. How many know you're not always right?
Right.
But you're always faithful.
Amen.
I'm not always right. I don't even know always if I've heard God or the devil or me or somebody. But I just do what I do, and I trust God. God, you know I'm a mess up. That's why I have to spend hours every morning, every day, talking to God, because I got so many things in my life, and I don't want them to get in the way. I don't want to live my old life. I want to live another man's life. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So that's who you are. You are not you. You are Christ in you, you. That's a new you, a new creation, not part of the old creation at all. So this promise over here that the Father never wanted you to do anything but wanted Jesus to do everything for you perfectly so that then there'd be no condemnation. So there is therefore now no condemnation. And that Greek construction starts out with the word no, not with there is therefore now. It starts out with the word no. No is the very first word. O-U. That's no. No condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now. Okay, I like the emphasis, which is, yahoo, no condemnation. I don't have to read the whole sentence. I can just start out with no condemnation. So every day, there's no condemnation on you, Bonnie. There's none. It doesn't matter that you didn't do everything right. It doesn't matter that you thought some things were right that weren't and other things were wrong. That has nothing to do with anything. It's irrelevant. It's just that Jesus did everything right and he did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He said, I hope I can go to heaven because of this. He didn't do it right. I'm doing it perfectly, Father, so I can go to heaven now. No, Jesus already knew who he was. Do you know who you are? Do you know that you are beloved of God? You're his beloved.
Thank you, Lord.
And all you had to do to qualify was get born, get into existence somehow. And you had nothing to do with that. Totally passive. So this chair is active, me actually performing, not resting. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So this is the rest he gives you in Christ. In Christ. By faith. So by faith alone, only faith. Only faith.
Amen.
Don't add any works to it.
Amen.
By faith without any works of the law. You don't have to have anything going for you. That should be good news, Dan. That should be good news. You weren't raised that way. You were raised to behave, and your brothers didn't. And so you were better than they were. And your father was disappointed in them. But the truth is, that's a lie. There's no scripture for it. And it doesn't matter. We don't have to find out who's the culprit and so on. We just know this. God wants to glorify himself anyway. And so don't judge people. Because you're probably judging someone that couldn't have done anything different anyway. Because they didn't know the Lord. So the only one you should judge, let judgment begin in the household of God, is yourself, is Lord. Just get me all the sin out of me so I can be a light to people and some salt and help people to get free. Because that's why you're here. And you know what? Nobody else has that job. Nobody else has that task, which is to be the light and the salt. But it's only because you were born again and you didn't even do it. And you can't be the light and the salt except the light and the salt's in you. The purpose of salt is that anything offered to God, a work, a labor, anything offered to God is not acceptable to him unless it has salt with it. So every offering, thanksgiving offerings, burnt offerings, you know, any sacrifice, anything you do, it's only acceptable if you put some salt with it. That's your faith in God's promise. That's the salt. That's why you're called the salt of the earth, because you're children of Abraham. You're not children of Moses. You are not Israeli in that sense. You're the true Israel. Which one is that? Well, that's the remnant that has faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the remnant that has faith that Jesus is the Messiah. And he really is, and he really is. And so many people today in Israel have accepted Yeshua. I don't care how they do it. They just have accepted that, hey, there's some good news. Because they realized the religious way of doing things wasn't working. Wasn't working. You guys were in Israel when I went last time.
Oh, in October with Caroline.
Yeah, right. You know what? What was neat was I was tired, And so I was sleeping, and everybody else went to the Western Wall or whatever for doing a festival. And so I woke up in 11 or 12 or whatever time, and I thought I should find the group where they are. And so as I'm walking along, the street is empty because everybody's doing what you're supposed to be doing except me. And so it's kind of empty streets. And I had no one to ask which one is the Jaffa Gate or, you know, which one is the right way to go to the Western Wall. I know I could get in, but it takes you half an hour to walk across the city. So I'd like to go through the right gate. And I don't remember which one is the right gate. And so all of a sudden I saw two Jewish men on their way, obviously hurrying along, coming out. And I thought, oh, good. I got someone I can ask. So I said, which way is the Jaffa Gate? And they just ignored me. Oh, no, sir, you're the only ones here. Which one do I go in? You know, it's a simple question. Just point the way or something, you know. And they said, I don't speak English. And then they went on. And I thought that was so funny. As the guy spoke in perfect English, telling me that he didn't speak English. What he meant was not that he didn't speak English. He meant, if I talk to you, a Gentile, I will be unclean. And I will not be able to celebrate. But I'm being kind enough to tell you I don't speak English so that you don't talk to me anymore. Because I want to be clean. Now, how many know he broke the law, actually, by talking to me, by saying he didn't speak English. And so he was being jeopardized. I didn't know that. And I didn't know their rules. And he knew that. So he was kind enough to say, I'm going to sin just a little bitty, teeny weeny bit by saying I don't speak English to get rid of you so that you don't talk to me because I can't tell you. But on another day, I could have told you. You know, it's right there, you know, whatever. Do y'all see how funny people are that keep the law? You can't keep the law.
That's true.
Moses didn't keep the law. No Jewish person has ever kept the law. And that's why the Jewish people today are very open to Yeshua. Because they're beginning to think this law-keeping thing, and that's why they call them secular Jews, meaning they're Jews that are not Orthodox. They don't. They believe that there's something to it, but it's never worked. And it doesn't work for the secular person. For example, on Sabbath, all the traffic stops for 24 hours. You can't get a cab or, you know, train or a bus or anything. And so there's nothing you can do. You're just stuck where you are. And a lot of people resent that because they would like to make money on that day or go visit their relatives or have fun at the beach or whatever. But everything just shuts down. And so a lot of Jews, if you ask them, are you, you know, a practicing Jew? No, I'm not religious. They call religious meaning Orthodox. But they don't mean they don't believe in God. They actually do believe in God. They just don't believe in the religious program or way to get to him through the law. So they're just saying, we're very impatient with all these laws here. Like, for example, if you're Orthodox, you can't go into the army. The Orthodox are not, you know, they're exempt. They don't have to go into the army. All other young people have to go into the army and or whatever branch. And so people get impatient with law keeping. How many know that everybody in the world is impatient with laws that restrain me, restrict me, keep me from doing what I want to do? But how many know that that's a good thing? You shouldn't just do what you want to do. I would if there are laws, I'll break them and go do what I want to do. But with Jesus, I don't need to. Why? Because he's offered a different way. Where he not only has kept everything for me, but he's doing it in me, and then he does it through me to others. I didn't do it. I know it wasn't me. It's a new me. I'm a different person. King Saul became a different person after the prophet Samuel anointed him. And it said he was anointed with the oil, that is, with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied. And so he was a different man, the Bible says. Okay, you and I are now different people. We're in Christ. We're in Christ people. And if you know that, it'll change your life. Because you're no longer keeping law. You're no longer straining. You're no longer worrying. You're no longer trying to prove anything. You're no longer performing for people. You're no longer playing a role. You're just simply, in love with Jesus. It's a secret love. It's a personal love. And because of that, I'm never nervous. I'm not nervous about doing it right. I'm not careful, full of care, but I am carefree, meaning free to care for people as the Holy Spirit leads. Because I believe He will tell me, and He'll protect me. And if I mess up, He'll forgive me. But if I don't, I'll give Him the praise. I'll give Him the glory for it. How many here know that every once in a while, you know that you're doing something that God wants you to do? Just every once in a while, you know it. Yeah. It's like, wow, what I shared with that person, or I'm glad I was here because I got to say this, or whatever. People are blessed. And you know that's God. But you don't thank yourself for being so smart, or so clever, or so ambitious, or whatever. You thank God.
Right.
Is God, I don't even want to deal with all that stuff. I don't even know about all that. Okay. All I know is what just happened, people saw Jesus.
Yeah.
They knew it was Jesus, like Hendrix last night. He knew that whatever had been done was not producing anything. It was frustrated. But he also knew that when he was free, he was free. And because I was the only Caucasian person there, they speak their own languages and dialects and so on and so forth. So sometimes they had to have people interpret. But everybody could speak English, but I could not understand their English always. I mean, it was just a different accent, a different way of talking. And they speak in a clipped way or something, because I could not understand. They just talk differently, and it's like so rapid. It's rapid fire. I think he said Jesus. I'm not sure what he said. And so, man, these people are full of, they're animated. They are not docile and quiet. They are animated. Jesus said, and I love it. I mean, it's very entertaining, and you do stay awake. But I was sweating just watching them sweat. I mean, because if you are a preacher, you have to spit and you have to sweat, and it just comes off your brow. And they all have handkerchiefs. They do. They just wear them because they're worn out. I mean, I'd be worn out. Just two or three yells and I wouldn't have a voice. These people can go on and get louder and louder. It's like, but it does keep you awake. Fortunately, I was on the front row, so they would come right into your face and get you like that. So it's good. You did get the point. Now, these people have troubles galore. And so it's good to have that kind of strength in a country where they eat babies and kill people and so on and so forth. This is related to what they call Southern Sudan or South Sudan, which just became a country 4 years ago, about 4.5 years. And it was not to come into being. Even the people themselves didn't know it was going to come into being. All of a sudden they were an independent nation. They're the newest nation. They're the only new nation. And they're all Christian. And so the Muslim population departed, and the Christians from other nations round about came there. But it has its own problems. And so it's kind of fun and exciting to see how they want to be a nation that is powerful and real in a Muslim, this is north of the equator, a Muslim neighborhood. Everything up in north is all Muslim dominated. And they want to be the light and the salt. And so it's exciting, the excitement they have. And I'm glad that they can yell and scream, because they got to be, they're small. And they could be wiped out so easily. But you know what? Maybe God has a plan. Maybe, possibly, God has a plan to put them up north of the equator. Because almost all of the equator states are Muslim dominated. But little by little, they're becoming Christianized. And they were supposed to come down south below the equator and take care of all the Christians so that there wouldn't be any. But it's the opposite in Africa. The African churches are so on fire. These people are on fire. And they believe that they're to come here to America and evangelize us.
Amen.
And I say amen.
That's right.
I say amen. Because there's a lot of lukewarm churches here. And they need to be wakened up
amen.
With the sincerity and the passion that they have. It's just exciting.
Yeah.
And they all love Israel. Every African Christian loves Israel.
Amen.
They do. I mean, they know. It's in the Bible. That's why. It's in the Bible. So they know that we got to bless them.
Amen.
And they take it literally. They don't have any discussion about what it means and so on. It's just what it says, that's it. And so they know that Christians are to pray for and bless and so on Israel. So they do. So it's fun. I feel right at home, actually, with them because they're totally in the Bible. And they take it so literally. They may not be wise about all the stuff they do, but they are passionate. You cannot deny their passion to go all the way. Mm. All right. Now, I'm going to read the 7th verse of chapter 3, Galatians. Know then, please don't read your Bible and see that I added some words or subtracted some words. I'm going to read it so that it's understandable, not to say exactly what it literally says. But it's there. And I took it from the original. Know then that those who have received God's Holy Spirit are made righteous by faith. Know then that those who have received God's Holy Spirit. So if you have the Spirit, how did you receive it? Did you get it by faith or by works? Did you get it by works over here? Or did you get it by faith over here? Those who have received it are made righteous by faith. Because faith responds to promise, whereas works responds to command. The law, the gospel. Those are the two. And only these, doesn't say only, but it means only, are the true sons of Abraham. Doesn't say true, but that's what it's saying. Only these who act by faith, who respond by faith, are the sons of Abraham. But I added the word true because that's what it's talking about. And I added the word only because that's what it's saying.
Amen.
And how do I know that? How do I know that? I can tell you how I know it. It's because I've read the whole book. And I know what precedes it and what follows it. And I know what the subject is, the subject matter of the sentence or the paragraph. Because I've read the context, which tells me the meaning of the text. I read the text in the original language, and literally, it may denote something, but the connotation, the use, the interpretation is not so clear always. So you have to read it and ask the Holy Spirit to make it clear. So I'm reading again. Verse 7, know then, I'm only going to read a few verses, that those who have received God's Holy Spirit are made righteous by faith. Righteous by faith, not by works. Not by works of the law. And these, only these, are the true sons of Abraham. So, are you a son of Abraham? Yes. Why? Because he's the father of faith. He's the father of faith. That's where faith comes from. Because he got the promise. He got the promise. Now, moreover, verse 8, doesn't say moreover in yours, it says but or and. Actually, it says and. Moreover, the scripture, singular, the scripture, foreseeing that God intended that the Gentile nations, not Jews, would be justified by faith, not by law, not by the law, not by the law, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, in order that the promise which said, All the nations of the earth will be blessed by you. So, and it doesn't say all those words that I added, but I said all those words because they're there. They're implied. They're there. And therefore, it doesn't say all the nations of the earth. It just says all the nations will be blessed in you. But I said by you, because I rewrote it so that it makes sense in the context of the whole. Moreover, the scripture foreseeing, in other words, seeing ahead of time, that God intended from the foundation of the world that the Gentile nations would be justified by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, in order that the promise which said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you, might be fulfilled afterward in Christ. Now, I added all that. But that's what it's saying. That's what it's talking about. So, there's just two chairs here. This one is faith, this one is works. This one is the gospel, this one is the law. This one is promise, this one is command. And on and on and on. I could go on, because it's always diametrically opposite. So then, verse 9, only those having faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Only those who have faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's it. So you want to be a child of Abraham? You want to be one of Abraham's seed? Small s? We're the small s. Jesus is the big s. Jesus is the son of Abraham. It's in the Gospels. It calls him the son of Abraham. First it says he's the son of David, royal. But then it says he's son of Abraham. That's the spiritual side. He is a faith man. He's into faith. Because he's the fulfillment of the promise that was given to Abraham. So that's why he's his son. He's the fulfillment of that promise. Abraham never saw it. He only saw Isaac born, but that was it. And then he'd grow up. But he didn't actually see the whole land and all the promises God made. He didn't see all the families of the earth blessed. He didn't see any of those things. But we did. And ever since Jesus, these things are all coming to pass. So you cannot be a child of Abraham except by faith. You can't do it by works. You can't do it by being Jewish. You can't do it by behaving. You have to do it with nothing going for you except what Jesus did for you. The only thing you got going for you is what Jesus did for you. That's powerful. That's powerful. Because how many know we're just not good at perfect? Amen. And we're not even that good at imperfect, yeah. Almost perfect. We are not anything from the Bible except sinners apart from him. Apart from him, you can do. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. You know, apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, nothing. But of course, I can do a lot of things. But he said I could do nothing because in God's sight, doing something apart from him is nothing. What you just did is you labor was in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, you're the house. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. So this chair is out. This is not a good chair here. Because you can't do it. This only Jesus can do this chair. But he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. Before you were even born, he already paid. You have been prepaid. When you came out of the womb, you were already prepaid. In fact, before the foundation of the world, you were prepaid. Jesus was crucified, not on Calvary. He was crucified before the foundation of the world. And your good works were done then. In other words, all the works before you were created were computerized into you, were DNA'd into you. And Jesus did them then, mercifully forgiving you for not doing them, and then doing them so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can now do them. So when the Holy Spirit comes on you, that proves you're a son of God by faith. Through Abraham. Through the promise that God gave to Abraham. Next verse, 10. For as many as are seeking to be made righteous by actively doing the works of the law are under a curse. So it's not only that you didn't arrive to where you are, you're cursed. In other words, you weren't created to do works of the law. You were created to not do works of the law. You were created to live by faith. That's a whole new idea. You're a different person now. You're a new creation.
Amen.
You weren't created to do works of the law. In other words, sweat. Work at it. I'm not talking outer. I'm talking inner. There's no sweat. Why? Jesus did everything for me. That's unfair. That's unfair. He lived my life for me before I did. And I didn't do a good job, Margaret. I didn't even do it close to what he wanted. Because he wanted me to be holy and perfect, and he did it for me. Now I'm holy and perfect. I am? What did I do? I didn't do anything. Just like little babies, little kids. They don't feel like they did wrong. They're not caring that, you know, whatever. They have no worries at all. They have no ulcers or anything. They're not sweating it. And you don't have to be a good parent. How many know? Many people aren't. You know, so but you don't have to. Because little kids just know you're their mom or their dad or whatever. And they're just cool. I mean, they're just cool. And they just cry out, and they don't know there's anything, crying and laughing and so on. They don't think at all. They're not worried at all. And they just look at you like, who are you? What are you up to? And they're learning your language. They're learning your the way you turn your mouth and the way you do your eyebrows. And they're actually studying you so carefully that when you see the child, you know the parent. I mean, it's amazing. And if you're Chinese, they learn Chinese. I always am amazed at Chinese children that they can speak it at such a young age. It just amazes me. Like, it's such a complicated language.
Right.
And these little bitty kids are doing it. And Czechoslovakian. I don't see how that little kid can learn that language. I have trouble just speaking English. And so it's amazing to me how people can do that. But little kids, just takes them a year or so. Man, it would take me 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But those little kids, they just learn one word, and pretty soon they've got 2 and 5, and pretty soon, and then they speak whole sentences. I don't know how they do that. That's all they did was hear. They never worked at it. They didn't study grammar books or anything. And they can put it so accurately. No. That's so accurate. They have the right tone, the hands on the hips. No. You go to bed right now. No. I love it. Little kids are so cool. How do they learn that? It's amazing. For as many as you are seeking to be made righteous by actively doing the works of the law are under a curse. For it has been written. This is written down now. Cursed be everyone who does not continue in the doing all the things. All the things. All the things which are written or contained in the law to do them. In other words, if you do everything but one thing, you broke the law. You breached. You sinned. You did wrong. You have to do all the law. Otherwise, don't do any of it. So, you know, it's kind of clear. If you're not going to do it all, don't do any of it. Why? Because it doesn't count. Because God does not grade on a curve. He grades absolutely. You either get it totally right, 100%, or you don't get it right at all. And you do it 24/7, you know, from the time you're in the womb to the time you die. You got to be perfect the whole time. How many know that's a little hard? Except for pastors, I don't see how anyone can do it. But you know that's a joke. So what I'm saying is, nobody can do it. Nobody, it's too hard. Even, remember Cain, sinful brother, killed his brother, murderer. He said, it's too hard for me. And God actually didn't say, well, too bad, that's what you deserve. He went, no, don't worry about it. I'll put a mark on you. Anyone who touches you, I'll take care of it. She's like, why? That guy's no good. Well, that's us. Everybody has a little Cain in them. Everybody has that in you. There are times when you want to murder people. You may not physically do it, but you're thinking about it. You know, it's like, I'd like that. I wish you'd go. I don't like you. And everybody has that in them. Amen? Amen? Especially people that won't let you control them because you're smarter than they are. You didn't pick that up. In other words, we all think when we look at other people, boy, that person is dumb. Thank God I'm smarter than that. I can see right through that person right there. So, you don't know anything. All right. 11. We're only going to do 13, so we got three more. So then, it is clear that no one is able to be justified with God by his efforts to keep his law. Because the scripture says the just shall live by faith. Wow, there it is. The just are only the ones that live by faith. This is the only way you can be just, is not to do anything. Or to break all the laws. Or to not keep all the laws perfectly. This is the only way you can be just. Now God calls you righteous. So you can sit here in this chair. This is a very comfortable chair. There's no work in it. They have chairs now that lean back and are warm and I don't know what all they do. Give you coffee or whatever they do now. And so people are, we like things that are done for us like that. And God doesn't want you to sit in this hard chair. He doesn't want you to work at this. Make sacrifices. He doesn't want any of your sacrifices. He doesn't want any of your atonement, any of your offerings, nothing, unless by faith. 12. But the law is not of faith. But I translate it this way. But the law has nothing to do with faith. Laws don't have anything to do with faith. Laws you either obey or disobey. Promises you either believe or don't believe. But laws have nothing to do with faith. Nothing, 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 nothing. So if you're going to go, and these are the only two ways you can go, two kinds of righteousness. If you're going to go the law, be perfect. Jesus did, but he did it for me. I love that. So the law is good because Jesus did it, but he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and me. That's powerful. So Jacob, did you know you're perfect now in God's sight? Because of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. And because of the Holy Spirit. You have to ask for it. You have to ask for it. It doesn't just jump on you. You have to ask for it. You're born of the Spirit, but now you need to be filled with the Spirit as a matter of government so that you behave, but you don't do it. You just go, God, I can't behave, so give me some power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll receive power. The power to do what? To destroy all your sin and all the guilt and all the problems and the devil and everything else. That power you need. That's how you do it. It's so easy because you don't do any of it. Once you get the Holy Spirit, he does it all. He's a spirit, so you can't even see him. You know, there's no sweat. You know, he just burns up because you get baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And with fire. The fire burns up the flesh and purifies the spirit. Wow! That is a two-for-one deal. He burns up my flesh, but purifies my spirit. That's a good thing. I feel lighter. When the Holy Spirit chastens you, the Father who loves the Son chastens him. Loves the daughter, chastens her. So when God chastens you, it's for your good. It's always in hope. It's always in hope. It's always for your good. He doesn't force you. He doesn't make you behave. But Jesus will behave for you, and then in you, and then through you, if you let him. If you say no, he won't do it. You have the power to veto. I don't want to be good today, right now. I'd rather be angry right now. Give me an hour or two to get angry, and then I'll be okay after that. You know, he will not operate. And you can't just say, for the rest of my life, make me awesome. You know, that's not going to happen. You have to die daily. You have to die daily. And then sometimes people say, I think I've got it now. Pastor, I think I've got it. I love that. We have to repeat this every week because it's very hard to hold on to it. Amen. But once you do get it, it is so sweet. And you just go, wow, I don't need to worry about anything. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's so sweet. Amen. Now, the law has nothing to do with faith. Quite the contrary. That's actually in the Greek, but it sounds like but. But there's two kinds of buts. In fact, there's more than two. But this is a special kind of but. And it's A-L-L. Anyway, it's spelled different ways. But it just means, but on the contrary. But however, nevertheless. Okay, so quite the contrary, the law has nothing to do with faith. For it, the law, declares that the one who is keeping or seeking to perform the works of the law is obliged to live by keeping all the works contained in the law. You have to keep them all. So, you could be right. If you actually could do this, you would be righteous and God would accept it if you're perfect. Well, now you are by faith. So you can do it. You're actually now, God doesn't even see. If there's five sins on you, he doesn't even see them because the blood blots them out. He just sees the blood and he goes, ah, it's Jim. I love him. I love Jim. I just love Cynthia. I just love Cynthia. She's so special to me. And when she's sleeping, she's wonderful. When she wakes up, she's wonderful because she trusts Jesus. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Happy is the man. That's the sign. If you're a Christian, you're happy. You don't have to try to be happy. You are happy.
Amen.
Now, you may not know it, and you have to tell your face. Face, you are happy. You may have to tell it because it doesn't look like it. Some people look like they're concerned. You know, but you have to tell your face, face, you're happy. I am. I don't feel happy. Well, no, it doesn't go by feeling. It goes by faith in a written word,
right.
A promise.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is your joy. Well, that can make you happy right there.
Amen.
Yes.
If God be for me, who can be against me? Last verse. Christ has redeemed us. Ex agora sen. Ex agora sen. What does it mean? Do you know in Latin, the word agora, it means it lines like the forum, the marketplace. So some ex means out of. So when he redeems you, he goes to the marketplace and purchases you as is, brings you home into the master's house, and fixes you up. He goes, oh, I got a bargain today. Look at this. This one was, they were going to throw this away. I'm bringing it home. I'm going to fix it up. It'll be better than it was when I bought it. It'll be better. I'm going to improve it. Well, there's God making a promise to fix you up in his own house. That's beautiful. I like being purchased by God out of the marketplace. In other words, out of the realm of the law. Out of the realm of the law where you have to behave. Here you don't have to. You're taken to the master's house. He behaves for you. He then provides all your clothing and your food and everything. And then he marries you. And the whole thing is so good to be true. That's impossible. I can't even conceive of it.
Well,
I can't even conceive of it. Let me finish. Christ has redeemed us, verse 13, agorason, ex agorason, from out of the curse of the law. So you can't be cursed anymore. Kataras tu nomu. Out of the curse of the law, by having become Jesus a curse for us. He actually paid for it. So now it can't happen to you because he paid for it for you. For it has been written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that, why did he hang on the tree? In order that, for the purpose that, the blessing of Abraham might be made available to the Gentile nations in the work of Jesus Christ. I know all that's not in your sentence, but that's what it's saying. So that we all might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I'm going to add the word alone. Through faith alone. How do you get the Spirit? By meriting it, by working for it. By behaving yourself? Nope. You get the Spirit by faith. That's it. That Jesus is my righteousness. He is my joy. He is my peace. He's my everything. He's everything I've ever looked for. God, literally, one day, just, I don't know, 20 years ago, more, I don't even know. He said to me, this is before I was a believer, so maybe 30, 40 years ago. Jim, you're struggling against me. You don't want to be a Christian. So on. You want to be a pastor, but you don't want to be a Christian. And that was accurate. I didn't. But he said, you're looking for me. Everything you're looking for, you're not going to find it. Even though you think you're doing well, you're wrong. You're completely wrong. I'm everything you're looking for. And I laughed. I laughed. I thought that was so funny. And I have seen your people. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a Christian. They're the most miserable people I've ever seen. And they work so hard and they think they're so sincere. They're such hypocrites and liars. I don't want to be one of those. No, I'm not looking for you. I've seen your fruit, your people. You're not that successful. I don't know. You notice you don't have that many clients. I didn't know if you noticed that. Your market share is down. Anyway, and now here I am. And I'm totally, like, unbelievably excited every day of every minute. Peggy can tell you, I am. I'm always up and I'm always excited and I'm always happy. Always.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking superficial, you know, laughing or something. I'm talking deep down, a deep undercurrent of joy, unspeakable, full of glory. In order that the blessings of Abraham might be made available, because otherwise it wasn't available to them. They don't even know about it until we tell it to them. In the work of Jesus Christ, that we all might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith alone. And then I added these words, because this is what it's really saying. Why is it by faith alone? How do you receive it? By faith alone. Without being required to perform all the works of the law to qualify for God's gift of the Holy Spirit. You just get the Holy Spirit for nothing. You just get it for free. It's just like, that doesn't seem right. I don't even deserve the Holy Spirit. I'm not holy. I don't think he'd want to live in me. He'd have a lot of cleaning up to do. It could take him a week. Or a month, some people. Or maybe 17 years. Or 48. Or 800 years. I mean, how do you clean up? You don't. He does it. He just does it. He has, I don't know, some kind of super vacuum cleaner kind of thing. He just goes and cleans up everything. It's like, I didn't even know that much dirt was in my carpet. Or on my floor. Or on the windowsills. How many know that as a cleaner, you have to constantly be cleaning. Every day, dust seems to settle again. It's amazing. It's amazing. But that's the Holy Spirit. He loves to clean. There are some people that love cleaning. Well, my daughter-in-law, Mary, oh, she is a cleaner. She not only cleans her own house, she comes and cleans our house, Peggy can tell you. And then when we're gone or something, she'll clean it. And then she cleans the church. And doesn't want anything for it. She just likes to do it. She hates things that are not in neat and order, and she throws stuff out, and so on. She wants everything perfect. And so my son, who's a mess, he is blessed to have Mary. Right. I wish I had Mary. I wish mom and I are just not so clean like that. But I love it. No, I wouldn't want her throwing all my stuff away. No, leave that.
Can you call Mary for some help?
Yeah, right. She's awesome. She's awesome. But Peggy's aunt and uncle are like that too. They vacuumed the entire house and washed the entire house every single day of their lives. They were teachers.
Wow.
He's now 104 or something. He's 104 years old.
Wow.
She died at 96 or something, or 8 or something.
Wow.
And but every day, and he still does it. He's 104 and he still has to clean every day. It's neat.
Oh my God.
But their house is exactly the same as when we first saw it. I mean, everything looks brand new because every day they cleaned it. I mean, everything, stem to stern, the whole kitchen, the whole house had to be clean. They had a basement and everything. Everything was immaculate.
Amen.
So you could never catch them off guard. It's like they were always, you know, gracious. It was powerful. All right, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do that. He knows how to clean you inside and outside. Every way. It's so wonderful. Hope you were blessed today.
Amen.
What did you learn today? There are two kinds of righteousness. One doesn't work for us, but it does work for Jesus. He was righteous. He did the law. He is the law. He's the end of the law. He's the purpose of the law. It's just saying, be like Jesus. That's the law. Be Christ-like. Be like Christ. Okay? Now, Christ is Messiah, which means on the earth, Son of Man. Doesn't mean Son of God. Because we can't be God, but we can be like God. As Jesus came down to show us what it would be like to be Christ-like, he was here, spirit, soul, and body. So everything in your life is already done. Say it, I'm a new man.
I'm a new man.
It's already perfected.
It's already perfected.
Because when he was crucified, you were crucified. When he was buried, you were buried.
Yes.
When he was resurrected, you were resurrected. When he ascended, you ascended. And when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, you sat down at the right hand of the Father. You are right now already seated with Christ in heavenly places. Not will be someday, not the future, not becoming. You are actually now, finished, perfect. The new creation, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. That's a perfect tense. Passed away, that's a perfect past. And also, not only that, it's a perfect present. And the new has come. Perfectly. It's already here. So I can already celebrate today. I don't have to wait for miserable things to go away or for the good things to show up. I already can rejoice because it's already that way in heaven. And therefore, it's already that way on earth. And that's what faith does. Faith believes a thing before it sees it. Faith doesn't need to see it to believe it. It believes it to see it. You won't see it if you don't believe it. You have to believe it first before you see it. I'm a new creation. You don't see it yet. Nobody sees it yet. But just say it anyway. Why? As a testimony.
Yes.
I'm perfect. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm perfect.
It's powerful.
Oh,
Margaret, you're perfect. I am so amazing. I'm so wondrous. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because there's Jesus in you.
Amen.
And he chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. So since he chose you, you are already perfected. I love this message.
Amen.
I love this message. It's good. I'm not comparing myself, but I don't think most ministers have this down as clearly. It is awesome. It's so awesome. I never get nervous or frustrated or worried or wish Al-Qaeda would go away. I don't want anything or who's going to be president. I don't care. I don't care who's president. I don't. Why? Because it's all going to work out for my good anyway. Why? Because it's already over. How can you lose when you've already won? So, are you a new creation?
I am a new creation.
Okay, let's say it. I am a new creation. The old has passed away. And the new has come. It's powerful.
Amen.
So that's why I'm happy all the time. Say it. That's why I'm happy all the time. People must be amazed at me.
You
want to say that part. That's the truth. Oh, praise God. Could we do it?
Sure.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jim, I have a question.
Yes.
In verse 4, it says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?
Okay.
So is he talking there about the suffering against the pressure to keep the law?
Yes. Yeah, I answered it too quickly, but yes. Because you knew that there were several answers, that's the one. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. So you suffered so much, but was it in vain? Because the suffering he's talking about is Jesus Christ did it for you. And the next couple verses clarifies that. Because you read it in the Bible. It doesn't talk about experiences. It talks about you read that in the Bible. And that's when it happened.
Yeah.
So you've already suffered. Why? Because Jesus suffered. When he was crucified, you were crucified, and so on and so on. Mm. So it's already done. You're a perfect person now. Isn't that good to know that you're perfect in God's sight?
Yes.
Forget people. Forget your own sight. You're perfect in God's sight.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I love Jesus.
I do too. Amen. And you can say it without thinking about, do I mean it and all that. Don't ever do it. Don't ever psychologize. Psychology is not a key to anything. It's just nonsense. I call it witchcraft. I don't want to get into that. I love this word.
Amen.
This sets me free. That's it. I'm free.
Amen.
All right.
Jim, isn't it happy anniversary time for the two of y'all?
A couple days.
Yeah. When is it?
Oh, no, we already had it.
Yeah, we had it.
We already had it.
Happy anniversary. Yeah. Precious, amazing couple.
Right. But it's a 53 years.
Right.
But in 2 days, Peggy's...
One day,
tomorrow. Tomorrow, Peggy is older than I am. Tomorrow, she'll be older than I am. So, if you're wondering, you know. But it's good to marry an older woman.
Yes.
You know, very good. Because they live a long time.
Next Saturday, you catch up.
And then next Saturday, I'll catch up. Okay. So, go ahead.
I'm Sarah Johnson. I'm Jimmy Johnson's daughter. And Jerry Johansson's granddaughter. I sing and write music, and so actually, the song, this is a new song, but it really reminds me of your message of just what the enemy intends for evil, you will use for our good. And no matter what the trial, no matter what the circumstance, no matter the attack, it is only meant to strengthen our faith and draw us near to the Lord. So that is what this is about.
Yeah.